God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Notice it says in verse 7, if I could just kind of read through some of the words here, it says, God has given us a sound mind. I want to speak today on the subject of godliness and the mental realm. Godliness and the mental realm. Now, we all have to exist in the mental realm, and it has a tremendous, tremendous influence over our lives and what we do or don't do. And we can see that here in this verse as Paul talks to a young preacher named Timothy, who seemed to have some struggles, if you'll read his history, with timidity, with cowardice. Pastors are human beings, is what they are. They're made of clay just like you and everybody else. And there are pastors who have struggles with fears, timidity, cowardice. And Timothy was one of them. And the Apostle Paul tried to be an encouragement to him. In fact, back in 1 Corinthians 16, I'll read this, in verse number 10, it says this, Now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. And so he was going to send Timothy off to Corinth. Timothy ended up in Ephesus as the first bishop there. I really believe he overcame those weaknesses in his life. But he said, when he sent him to Corinth, he said, Now, when I send Timothy to you, make sure that he can minister among you without fear. And there are some other times where Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed, don't be ashamed. And I want to talk about godliness in the mental realm. If you'll just turn back to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, you'll recognize this as our theme verse for the year. It says, But bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Every realm you live in, godliness is profitable, including the mental realm. Having the promise of the life that now is, in other words, godliness will help us mentally right now, and of that which is to come. And I hope by the end of the message we'll kind of see how those work together. I hope to show you this morning that ungodliness can cause people to have mental maladies and mental illness. Ungodliness. Now, not all mental illness, please understand from the beginning, not all mental illness is caused by ungodliness, but ungodliness in different forms, and I'll give you a couple examples today, we're going to see clearly from the Bible, caused some people mental illness and mental problems. Some of the mental illness, and I think you and I would agree that in our society we seem to be seeing more and more and more mental illness and mental maladies just in general among some people. Some of it is caused or the product of sin and ungodliness, and godliness can help us in the mental realm. And Paul is saying to Timothy here, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is very, very common for a person to become a born-again Christian, a born-again believer, I should say, in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that transformation, that person becoming a new creature in Jesus Christ, it will help them mentally. It'll help you mentally to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is a helper and He is a healer. And it'll help us in the mental realm to know the Lord as our Savior. God gives us a sound mind. Godliness is God giving us a sound mind. Now this word, this phrase here, a sound mind, means without fear or shame. Without fear or shame. If you today have all kinds of phobias. And I'm not talking about rational phobias. It's okay to have rational phobias. If someone's afraid of heights, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're afraid of walking in front of a semi-truck that's going 65 miles an hour, that's a good fear to have. All right? There are such things as rational phobias. But brethren, we live in a day of irrational phobias. I think a common illustration to that is the swine flu. I mean, isn't our God bigger than that little virus? Is he that small to us? I am not going to stop living because of the swine flu or the regular flu or the common cold or the AIDS virus or whatever. My God is bigger than those viruses. And brethren, not you, you're here, but I am meeting people who will not come to church anymore for fear of getting the swine flu. A couple years ago, it was global warming. Back in the 70s, it was global cooling. When I was in high school, I remember Newsweek magazine, Time magazine, newspaper, scientists, global, the next ice age is coming, we're all dead, you might as well give up now. We're dead. It's all over, global cooling. It was the Alar scare. You know, they sprayed apples with Alar, you're all going to get cancer, you're all going to die, do not eat apples. And a bunch of apple growers along Lake Ontario went out of business because then a couple years later, there's nothing wrong with Alar. Go ahead and eat them again. And brethren, all through my life, I have seen people controlled by fears. Fears. Now, I'm not saying don't be smart. Wash your hands. Wash them under running water. If you can't do that, carry around those little Purell things. Hand sanitizers and you know, blow your nose into your sleeve and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm all for that. But I've told people, I said, man, I shake hundreds of hands a week probably. I'm not going to stop living. I'm not going to stop serving because of what might be out there. We live in a day of fears and phobias, and there's a lot of mental maladies in our society, and it seems to be getting worse, especially because of the worldwide communications. Jesus said prophetically in Luke chapter 21 and verse 26, he said, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Jesus said prophetically that in the last days, people's hearts are going to fail them for fear. Why? Because they're looking after those things that are coming on the earth. You know what I call that? I call that watching the news. I don't watch the news. I enjoy life. I really do. I don't care if it's Fox or NBC or CBS or ABC or whatever. I'm not one that's addicted who has to watch the evening news. Because, man, when I watch the news, I end up starting chewing my fingernails. Say, man, I better not even go out of my house tomorrow. It's all over. But brethren, all you got to know, you can know enough just by reading the Bible of what's going to happen on the earth. And if I should get the swine flu and die, I'm ready. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do not feel sorry for me. When you have my funeral, have a time of rejoicing. Just say, he wanted to get out of here anyway. Praise the Lord, he's where he wants to be. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible, but we have got to realize that, number one, a godly mind is a sound mind. It is a mind that is not controlled by fears and shame. He's saying to Timothy here, don't be afraid, Timothy. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know, this morning, if we are afraid to witness for the Lord, if we are afraid to be discovered that we're a Christian, if we're ashamed to testify on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand you do not have the sound mind God wants you to have? You do not have the sound mind God wants you to have. God wants to heal that mind. And you know, fear paralyzes. Fear paralyzes. Fear keeps people from attempting things for God, witnessing for God, winning others to Jesus Christ, getting involved in Christian services and ministries. Fear paralyzes. There was once a time when the Lord taught a parable, and it was about the talents. And you may remember the parable about the talents over there in Matthew chapter number 25. And he gave one guy five and another two and another one. And he said, now take the talents that I gave you and just be a good steward of them and try to use them. Do something with them and multiply my investment in you. And so the guy who had five talents came back and said, Lord, I got five more. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The other guy said, Lord, you gave me two, and look, by using this, what you gave me, Lord, I've gained two more. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the one guy that came back with one, he said, I didn't do anything with it. And this was his reason. In Matthew 25 and verse 25, he said this, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. I was afraid. I didn't do anything because I was afraid. I think it was President Roosevelt who lamented, quote, those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. And I don't want to be that. Well, I don't know. Maybe all I'll ever know is defeat, but I hope when you lay me in the ground, somebody will say, that guy tried something. He wasn't afraid. He tried something. He won a few people to Christ. Maybe he wasn't the best witness, but he tried to preach Christ. Some people have so many phobias and fears, and they're so ashamed of Jesus Christ, they never witness. They tell you how to do it or how not to do it, but they never do it. They studied all their lives, but they never give over their phobias. Ladies and gentlemen, a godly mind is a sound mind. It's a sound mind, and it's a mind that God gives us where we do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Now, if you're here today and you say, well, man, I've got those problems with fear and shame and so on and so forth, I would ask, if I were you, I would ask the Lord to give me a sound mind. Be humble about the thing. We'll get to that in a minute. Say, Lord, I need a sound mind. I don't want to spend my whole life paralyzed from doing anything because I was afraid. And I hid thy talent in the earth. I was afraid. And the Lord didn't say to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You got to either work through your fears or work around your fears or by God's grace get over your fears. God can use you. God wants to use you. Start praying today. God, give me that sound mind. You know, if Timothy had these struggles, we're humans, we're clay, I understand that. There's times where I've chickened out and cowered out of witnessing to somebody because I said, man, that guy's not going to listen. You know, but you gotta get over those things and do something for God. Do something for God. A godly mind is a sound mind, number one, and that is a mind that is not controlled by fears and phobias and shame. Number two, a godly mind is a humble mind. A godly mind is a humble mind. Turn to Philippians chapter number one. Philippians chapter number one. And chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 5. A godly mind is a humble mind. Now, let me define pride and humility. They're opposites. Pride and humility are opposites, but they're not hard to define. Pride is a person who is just completely consumed with themselves. That's all pride is. Pride is just somebody who all their thoughts and their life is about is themselves. Humility is somebody who thinks about God and others all the time. That's all. That's all it is. Pride, person thinks about themselves all the time. Humility, person who thinks about God and others all the time. All right? We get up, we say, Lord God, it's so good to see you this morning. It's so good to talk to you. I just want to give, what can I do for you, Lord, today? What can I do for you? And Lord, what can I do for others as I go through this day? Show me. That's a humble person. Again, a humble person is not somebody who's a doormat that you wipe your feet on and spit on, and they walk around with this low esteem problem thinking they're just a bunch of garbage. I don't know what that is. But that's all humility is. Very, very strong men can be humble. Very, very strong women can be humble. Very strong people can go through life and say, God, what can I do for you today? What can I do for others today? Proud people are just people who think about themselves. It's all about me today. It's not hard to define those terms. Notice Jesus. Did you ever wonder what was in Christ's mind when he walked the earth in the flesh as a man? How did he think? We're talking about the godly mind today. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I guess that's possible. Otherwise, God would not have told us to do it. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, we've got a colon, and praise the Lord, he's going to tell us exactly how Christ thought. Verse 6, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, there's the deity of Christ right there. We can't live, verse 6, that's him. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We saw first that the godly mind is a sound mind. God has given us a sound mind. When he saves somebody, he wants to deliver them from fears and phobias and cowardice and shame. But now we see a godly mind. We see Christ himself. We see into the very mind of Christ how he thought when he walked the earth. Verse 8, he humbled himself. And as I just illustrated earlier, he just went into life every day being a servant. Who can I help today? God, what can I do for you today? I want you to die on the cross for mankind. Yes, sir. Imagine that much humility. What can I do for others? He became a servant. That's all humility is Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, what can I do for others? Pride is all about ourselves, and this is where the mental problems come in. Pride produces mental problems in people. I'd say it produced some mental problems in Lucifer, wouldn't you? The Bible says he was full of wisdom, Ezekiel 28. But he started getting proud, didn't he? Says he was lifted up because of his beauty. He started looking at the way he looked and said, you know, I am the most beautiful creature God ever made. I must be better than everybody else. You can read it in Ezekiel 28. It says his heart was lifted up in pride and his wisdom became corrupted. He couldn't think right anymore. Turn to Daniel chapter number 4. A man testified one time how this happened to him. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I know we call Daniel the book of Daniel, but there's actually a chapter in it that was written by Nebuchadnezzar that he wrote about himself. And Daniel chapter 3 and Daniel chapter 4 document the rise of this great leader of one of the greatest empires ever, only four kingdoms on earth ever. One was the Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar became the most powerful man in the kingdom of Babylon, so big that he said, you know what, I am so great, let's make a statue 75 feet high of me, and whenever anybody hears any music of any kind, wherever they are, stop what you're doing, bow down and worship me. And of course, the three didn't, and they got thrown into the fiery furnace, but Jesus was there with them in the fiery furnace. Anyways, Nebuchadnezzar became extremely proud. Look at Daniel 5 and verse 20. It says, and when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. Notice pride affected his mind. Pride affected his mental capabilities. His mind was hardened in pride. Now go back, and this is a testimony. He's actually writing chapter number 4, even though it's ascribed to Daniel. And in Daniel chapter number 4, let's begin at verse 28 because we're running out of time here. It says, "At this, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon," verse 30. And he starts bragging about his big house and all that he has. "And while the word of boasting and pride was still in his mouth," verse 31, "there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times, that is years, shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And now notice how Nebuchadnezzar goes insane. Verse 33, "In the same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes, not to himself anymore, but to heaven." He humbles himself in verse 34. And what happens? "And mine understanding returned unto me." He got his mind back when he humbled himself. He lost his mind through pride. Brethren, you can see it. See how many people today have mental illnesses and then go by, and not all of them. I know some of them it's chemical, some of them it's genetic. I understand that. But you'll meet a lot of people who are having problems in life and they're not thinking straight. And you wonder, what are they thinking? What causes that behavior? And if you'll examine their lives, it's all about them. It's all about them. They're just completely focused on themselves. I believe most depression is rooted in pride. A person completely focused on themselves. Not all, but most. It says his understanding returned unto him. Verse 20, 36, "At the same time my reason returned unto me." He says his abilities mentally to reason and his abilities mentally to understand returned when he humbled himself and he praised God. Verse 37, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." See, he finally says, it's not about me, it's not about worshiping me, it's not about getting others to worship me and pay attention to me. It's not about that, it's about God. And when he began to extol God, his understanding returned to him, his reasoning returned to him, and God gave him his kingdom back. His mind was hardened in pride, and he went insane. And brethren, it's been my observation many times that when a person gets saved and begins to give their life to the Lord, they begin to be healed mentally. They begin to have peace where there was no peace. What a blessed thought in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, which says, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." What a promise, perfect peace for the person whose mind is stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride keeps the focus on us. Pride is sin. Humility focuses on God, where our help is. Focuses on others. Somebody once said, if you feel depressed, go and do something for others. If you feel depressed, go and do something for others. What medicine? But number 3, a godly mind must be a controlled mind. A godly mind must be a controlled mind. God's not going to do everything for us. You ever notice that? Yeah, it's like the old saying, God feeds the birds, but he doesn't put it in their nest. God took 1,500 years and wrote a Bible, but he's not going to read it for you. God told us all the conditions we can have to a glorious, blessed prayer life, but he's not going to pray for you. He's not going to put your clothes on and get you in the car and get you off to church when the doors are open. Some things we've got to do for ourselves. And one of those things is we've got to control our minds. A godly mind must be a controlled mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, it tells us these words, and they're familiar to some of you. Maybe it's new to others, but this is probably the greatest text on the victory. It says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." Notice this. Godliness is controlling the mind, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God can help us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Did you know in Romans 8 it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. A person who has a fleshly mind can never do what God wants them to do. But we need to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and bring into captivity every thought. Now, as amazing as the mind is, and nobody can ever in words describe the amazing human mind. It's an unbelievable creation of God. The mind, what a computer. And yet, as amazing as it is only capable of thinking about one thing at a time. Now, there are things we can do involuntarily. You can walk around the block and be thinking about how you're going to pay your bills, you know, that type of thing. It's involuntary things our body has been trained to do by the mind. But you can only think about one thing at a time. Therefore, it is possible for us to obey the commandment to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And brethren, we have got to get control of our minds today. There has never been a time in human history where more things have competed for your mind than there is today. And brethren, if we don't get a control of our minds, we risk the chance of cracking up. There are people today cracking up because of what goes on right in their minds. And we have got to get control of this mind, even believers in Christ. The latest edition of the Sword of the Lord magazine is out there. Right on the front, the editor, Dr. Shelton Smith, writes an editorial called "Pornography Ravaging the Nation." In this, he tells the story, and I heard about this man. He was a Moody Bible Institute graduate who was going off into the ministry, and he got involved in pornography. He got so deep into it, he ended up making movies, and he was just recently arrested for murdering a woman who was in the movies with him. Now, that's about as sick and as twisted as you can think of. But that's the depth of depravity some things can take us in this day and age if we do not get control of our minds. In fact, the Bible says, and I'll close with this, turn to Romans chapter number 1. I want to show you how pornography and this vile behavior can lead a person to have a reprobate mind. You do not want to toy with that kind of filth. In Romans chapter number 1, it says in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that just payback, recompense of their error, which was meet or fitting." Now notice what happens because of this vile behavior, verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." The word reprobate means a mind that is incapable of discerning any principle whatsoever. And we live in a day and age where there are people in our communities who have absolutely no principles. They can't put their finger on one principle they believe in anymore. Everything's okay. There's no rights, there's no wrongs, there's no absolutes. Until you ask them, are you absolutely sure? God says these vile affections, God finally gave them over to a reprobate mind. We saw pride produce a hardened mind, and now pornography produces a reprobate mind. And this pornography thing is getting so bad in our communities and so bad in our churches and so on and so forth that it is greatly endangering women, children, and society. And we have got to cast down imaginations. As soon as they creep up, we've got to cast them down. Dr. Bob Jones used to say, you can't stop the birds from landing on your head, but you can stop them from building a nest there. And there's some things you can't stop them from coming into your mind for a second, but you don't have to let it build a nest there. And you don't have to continue to think upon those things. And I'm telling you, more and more people are going to go insane. I remember a man who professed to be a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I remember the story. I remember his wife. She wrote a book about it. And how he got involved in pornography behind her back. And it so corrupted his mind, it gave him a reprobate mind. He started looking at his little 5-year-old daughter with horrific thoughts. And he blew his brains out before he did anything to his own daughter. He couldn't live with it. He got that sick. Brethren, this mind is a fragile thing of ours. This human mind is a fragile thing, and we need to be good stewards of it. Godliness can help us in the mental realm. It can help us in the life that now is. It helped Nebuchadnezzar when he finally got a godly mind and he humbled himself. His reasoning came back. His understanding came back. His kingdom came back. He began to function again like God had made him to function. And I know reprobates. And my wife has a cousin who was in the gay community, and he got saved out of it. And now he goes around schools, churches, anywhere, and preaches the word that the Lord can set him free. His mind's come back to him. The Lord healed him. Amen. The Lord healed the demoniac of Gadara who was possessed with devils. And when the Lord got done healing him, he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. God can give us a right mind. Brethren, I'm pleading with you. You've got to watch what you're watching on television and listening to in your cars and looking at on the internet. And we ordained a man up here in Tonawanda, and I grilled him with 10 questions on doctrine, and then I went through 10 questions on behavior, beliefs and behavior. I believe that's doctrine. My final question was this: tell me, Brother Josh, I said, on your internet access, do you have every possible guard you can have on your internet access? He said, Pastor Cole, don't worry. He says, I don't have internet. I said, praise the Lord, I'm ready to lay my hands on you and ordain you as a preacher of the Word of God. I don't have to fear for his wife and his 4 children. I'm not saying internet is wrong. But I'm saying if you're a believer in Christ, you better get every single guard or whatever they call it. I don't even know how to get on the internet. I'm really suffering. I'm really suffering. I wouldn't even know how. We got it downstairs for business purposes, and there's passwords and guards and all kinds of things. I wouldn't know how to go downstairs in our office and get on the internet. I have no idea how to do that. People keep saying, oh, this can help you, this can enhance your ministry. Pastor will put so much at your fingertips. I got enough problems with my flesh, the world, and the devil on a day-by-day basis. I don't want to open up anything else. I don't need TV. I don't need all this kind of stuff. Why? Our minds are fragile. God can give us better mental health if we'll choose a godly life. A godly life. A godly mind is a sound mind. Are you here today with fears and shame and phobias and cowardice about living for God, serving God, witnessing for God? He doesn't want us to live the rest of our life like that. Maybe you want to just come and pray. Just say, God, help me. Give me a sound mind, right? I don't care what people think about me. And it's not about me. It's about God and others. Are you here with a proud mind today? It's just about me. You know, some of the problems you might be having in your life, mentally or emotionally, might be because you just think about yourself all the time. I saw a note back in, I think it was 1958. And the note said these words, Lee Roberson is dead. And it was a note he wrote to himself. Now, he lived up to what, last year, 2 years ago? Into his 90s. But that man did some things for God. But he wrote himself a note and said, Lee Roberson is dead. Underneath, he put these words, dead to self. And boy, what a fruitful life that man. Have you died to self? You get up every day and say, God, what can I do for you? What can I do for someone else? That'll help your mind. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. It'll help you mentally. And you have a controlled mind, man alive. I don't know about you, my mind just will not shut off. I don't know, it's always on overdrive. I got to, you know, as soon as the sermon's over, I got to start thinking about tonight. It's just the way I am. Wake up in the middle of the night at 3 and man, just, hey, I just can't shut the thing down. Maybe I should watch TV, you know. I don't know, maybe it'll help me or something. You ever see people like that? Ever try to talk to people when they're watching TV? Hello? Here to tell you about Christ, heaven, hell. You like to go to heaven? You know, you're in my way. It's crazy. It's crazy. Got to control our minds, and we can. These things might sound impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible. So let's pray about this. Let's bow for prayer. I know we've been here a bit, so let's just pray.